prophet, God would send somebody to deliver a message of the need to repent, the need to get right again with God. Now, the difficulty was that there were also itinerant pastors, I guess we would call them, that were false prophets, and they would go around saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and they would speak evil and false things. And so the people had to learn to distinguish between a real prophet who was speaking the true word of God and a false prophet who was just giving his own opinion and who was just trying to please people. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, it refers to these two different types of prophets as those who tickle the ears. Those were the false prophets. People just loved to listen to them because they were always positive. They were always telling everyone, "You're fine. You don't need to change. There's no real problems in your life. Just carry on the way you are." And the people loved them. Their ears were tickled by these false prophets. The ears of the people were tingling as the true prophets of God would preach, because they were warning about God's judgment and His concern over them and their need to repent. Jeremiah was one of the true prophets of God, and he's the first reference in the Bible here where we hear about a yoke. Now, most of us understand that the yoke is a large wooden carved piece that goes over the neck of a water buffalo or some animal in order to guide that animal and in order to use them to plow in the fields or to cultivate whatever they're doing. And so it was kind of a burden for the animal, but it was necessary to keep them going in the right way. Now, Jeremiah decided, "I'm going to dramatize what God has told me to tell the people." And the people hated his message. They didn't like it one bit, because God had told him, "Tell the people they're going to have to be yoked and they're going to be burdened, not by God, but by the Babylonians." And God was going to use Nebuchadnezzar to do that, to get the people of God to repent and shape up and turn back to God. So the people hated that message where Jeremiah said, "You're going to have to carry a burden. In fact, it's going to be a burden of slavery. We are going to be taken into slavery by the Babylonians." Well, now there was a false prophet around. I won't bother to give you his name. But he came up to Jeremiah, and he took the wooden yoke from off the shoulders of Jeremiah, threw it down on the ground, and broke it, and then tried to tickle the ears of the people by saying, "No, no, no, there's not going to be a yoke. See, we'll just break this yoke. It's not going to be necessary. You don't have to worry about anything. God is perfectly happy with the way things are." Now, it's interesting, if you look at the text in the Old Testament, it says, very simply, Jeremiah left. He went home, as if to say, okay, they've heard the truth, they've also heard the false, now which are the people going to believe? How are things going to work out? But God didn't let Jeremiah alone. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. You talk about a guy who had a tough message to relate. Can you imagine how his guts were hated every time he came and told them, "You're going to be in slavery, you're going to have problems"? Well, God sent him back again to talk specifically to the false prophet. And he had a short message for him. "God's displeased with you, you are a liar. You will be dead by the end of the year." That was his message. And, of course, the text tells us he dropped dead, not right then, but he died before the end of the year. That's how God takes care of false prophets. Now, let's get back to this thought of the yoke. There are false prophets today. There are false pastors. As a matter of fact, you have to be very careful. There's all sorts of things going on. Now, some of these people would like you to believe that God doesn't require anything from you at all, nothing at all. He just is happy that you've decided to follow him, and you don't have to do any growing. You don't have to do any repenting. You don't have to worry about how you live, what you say, what you do. Of course, that's a false prophet. That is not what God says. God is very concerned about his people that he has redeemed. He wants them to respond in a positive way to him, to live to his glory. He wants them to prove by their good works and their actions that they truly are children of God. And so there is a yoke upon us. There is the responsibility to serve the Lord and do his will, not so that we can be saved. We are saved by his mercy and his goodness. That we already have been gifted by him free of charge. But he says, now that you are my children, live like it. Let the world see your actions and your attitudes so that they see you are repentant. They see you are trying to obey the will of your Father in heaven. There is a yoke on us. There is a need to respond to God and to show that we truly love him and serve him by what we do and say and by our actions. Now, 2 weeks ago, I alerted you to this Matthew 11 reference. It's on page 1514 of your Pew Bible. 1514. Turn there, please. That's the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 28, 29, and 30. You will recall it from 2 weeks ago, where he simply states, take my burden upon yourself. Now notice how he talks about rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now this is the way to properly understand the burden of God upon his people. It is one of rest. Isn't that interesting? Not one to grind us down, not one to cause us to become weary and overburdened. He says, in fact, when you are overburdened and under duress and stress, come to me. I will give you rest. God is saying, I will enable you to carry your burden. I will sustain you. I will give you new strength. I will uphold you. I will give you peace of mind. I will give you energy. I will give you the Spirit, which God has promised to send to us. And I will fill you up with my presence. If you live for me and to my glory, you will have rest and calm. You won't be stressed. You will instead be in a positive relationship with God. That's what God wants. And so he says here in verse 28, 29, and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then he summarizes this with verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that beautiful? That's why we can find rest in living to the glory of God, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There are things that are going to trouble the heart of a Christian when they hear people lying, when they see going in a non-Christian way, in an immoral way. There are all kinds of things that burden Christians. But if they are in the right relationship with God and carrying the yoke of God, as he speaks of here, we will also find rest because he will be there. He will be the one strengthening us. giving us endurance, giving us courage, giving us the ability to detect what's right and wrong. You know, we learn this as we grow up learning the will of God. That's why even a little child begins to understand it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to do things that are displeasing to God. You just don't go and do anything you please. There is a responsibility in your relationship with God. But when you live that way, carrying that yoke, you also have peace in your heart. You also have forgiveness. You also have calmness knowing that you're right with God. That's why, even though you're carrying a burden, you will find rest. Amen.